side joint. Ooh, cult side joint.
Hello, sunshiny day to you, Amarin. Is it sunshiny in the Northwest?
Oh my gosh, it is. I'm very excited to say that it is. I literally thought to myself when I was preparing for recording today, I'm going to get to be in a good mood about the weather today. What a win for me.
Take it and run.
Sunshine, it's gorgeous. It's spring. We did get like snow this week, so all of our spring buds are kind of like, I don't know if I want to be alive anymore.
Which is you, buds.
Coming out of spring, but or coming out of spring, not out of it. Sorry, coming out of spring, I feel like a goddess for some reason.
Yeah, well, so that's because you are.
Thank you. It's time to get back in touch with energy. It's one of those days. So that's how I'm doing it. How are you?
Super awesome as well, exclusively because it's sunny. I have a couple of updates for people in the world of cults I join. Namely about my pets. I just want to give, I gave an update about Mr. Cupcake on the Patreon, but I want to extend it here because I know people are concerned. So because it's springtime and we live in southern Missouri, we're like near Tornado Alley, as they call it. And it is an alley of tornadoes. They're not wrong. And so right now my boy is super afraid of tornadoes. They are like a large part of his consciousness. Adults in the tornado areas are very like, there are memes about us being like, oh, it's tornado there. Could someone pass the ranch? Like,
we're not very nonchalant.
but Solace, you know, sees the destruction they can bring and he's very stressed. Anyway, so there was a potential tornado this past week. And so Solace, we don't have a basement. And so Solace, I was like, it's totally fine. We have an interior room. It's no big deal. And he was like, it's everything. So he made me contact the neighbors and ask if we could stay in their basement. Basically ask if we can just walk in their house without any notice anytime and go straight into their basement,
sure.
Which they kindly didn't just say yes to, but immediately sent us over a house key.
Wow. That's what it means to live in Missouri, honestly.
Beautiful. So true.
Not like that's everybody, and I don't mean to discount how lovely and generous that is, but I do feel like that is such a Missouri vibe that I thought maybe existed like in I thought that was an American vibe. Turns out no.
Yeah.
No, out that is not an American vibe. That's all I'll say.
You're
it's a beautiful,
right.
And beautiful like, thing.
Extra nice for someone who misses community to have that kind of neighbor.
Yes.
Yeah, no, like literally within 10 minutes of me sending that text, their daughter, who is an adult and in from New York, like was at our door with a key to their house. I was like, here you go, just come in anytime. So, but we did end up invading their house without knocking at 11:30 that night and sitting in their basement for an hour with Mr. Cupcake, who acted like we'd never broken up, who acted like he didn't abandon us, just
traitor.
Came in and purred and nuzzled us. And yeah, it was... was a real interesting time with Mr. Cupcake.
That's just the sort of thing we've come to expect from Mr. Cupcake. I hate to say it, but that's where his reputation is at this time, for me at least.
I know, which I guess it's nice. Like, I'm glad we could, like, have a moment. But then he was like, thanks for stopping by. Go ahead and go.
See, that's where it gets rude.
I almost made Amarin spit again, you guys. When's she going
to
learn?
It's one of those days. When am I going to be safe to take a drink of water with this comedian in the house is what I need to know. So just riddle me that.
And then other little update. This is so cool, too. Shout out to a really cool Cults I Join girl who lives in Denver, whose name I don't know because I didn't get to meet you. But you came out to my farmer's market to meet me the other day, and it was an Easter event, and so I was racing around like hiding eggs and dressing as a giant carrot and leading bunny hop races, and we didn't get to bump into each other, but if ever you're in this area again, I will go out of my way to make sure that we meet. And that was so cool of you to come and say hi, and just I hope that you had a great visit to the Ozarks, and I hope you can come back. So thank you so much for coming to say hi. That was really cool.
Yes,
Miss Girl in Denver, who I assume is very pretty.
I would have to believe that is the case.
Yes.
I want to give one tiny shout out, if I may, to another one of our besties. And that is someone that reached out on Spotify in our comment section, which I just want to say that I don't understand the wily ways of like the back end of a lot of podcasting, but Spotify for some reason works for me. So I love when
and
you guys comment.
And it doesn't for me, so only Amarin sees
hilariously,
it.
And I can't respond is the best part, I think is, I love that. Like you can just accept the comment or deny it. You can't, and I like never deny comments unless they're totally unrelated, but I love them is what first thing I want to say. And the second thing that I want to say is that on our last group that we covered, Burning Man, we had a friend reach out and clarify something that neither Jesse knew that we just wanted to include in this episode. And that is that something that we wish for in the episode exists. So dream come true, wish granted.
Yes.
Burning Man has regional gatherings year round, actually, it turns out. So they have kind of, you know, there's quite a few of them that take place across the globe, actually. And if you look at their website and it has kind of a smaller gathering crowd, of course, and also, I guess, has less rich people, according to this person that was sharing this with us.
Makes sense.
And yeah, that person is a rainbow burner, they said, for a long time. So it's like 14 years, but never went to the big burn. So it was a very helpful clarification for someone that was in the community that I didn't know and that we didn't cover in the podcast. And so, yes, thank you for clarifying that for us. We've really appreciate it. Or I guess
the biggest thank you, because not only do we want to get things right on the podcast, like I want to go to these things.
Also, you know? Yeah, we like, literally said, why isn't there any of this? And the answer is that people already thought that and it's
right,
all over the place.
It happened. So I just want to say too, like I do, a certain Quaker listener once accused me of not doing enough research. And I just want to say, this is my third job that I hold as a single mom and it doesn't pay me. So I can only do so much. But that said, I do no less than 10 hours of research and like cutting and pasting and reading and highlighting and no less than 10 hours on every subject that we do. So I do the deepest dive I'm able to, given that I have two other jobs and a kid I'm trying to keep on the right side of the path. So I think I do a pretty good job. And I additionally, I'm really interested in every topic we cover. And I generally know people involved in it and talk to them as well. Certainly that's true of Burning Man. So the like I said, I want to be corrected if I'm wrong. So I appreciate that. But I also like really care about these things. And it shocks me that I did that much research and I never came across a single reference to regionals. And I have tons of friends who are kind of religious about Burning Man and going to it. And they too have never mentioned regionals to me. So it was really surprised me that it was off my radar. So how interesting our blind spots can be. We don't know they're there. So very cool.
Really
thank
weird.
You so much for telling us. Yeah.
Yes. It's also, I'll say from a website perspective, which no one really wants to talk about, it's weird that they don't have any way to access the regional information from their like main website. It's like a separate domain that is a part of it. So it is, you sort of have to just know that you're looking for it in order to look for it. And I think that's kind of cool, but yeah, it's so if anybody wants to look at it, it's regionals.burningman.org and the regular big man burn is burningman.org. So, you can check
so
it out.
Crazy.
That's what I have to say about that. I guess I should leave the past in the past eventually, but clearly I'm just hung up on the last group.
Listen, we like Burning Man and we won't apologize for it.
That's right.
What was the other? Oh, okay. Last thing. And I just think this is really cool. So I want to mention it as well. And I think it's going to pertain to an upcoming episode. So I have lots of just like some of the coolest friends in the world who do every cool thing that there is. And, a good friend of mine who I just mentioned, I think in the previous episode, I just happened to bring her up and she texted me while we were recording that episode. She has just started listening to Cults I Join and she texted me, this is a girl I've known for over 20 years, texted me and said, hey, did I ever mention to you that I was a finder? And I was
too
like,
crazy.
What? Like, no. And we lived in a commune together for a really long time, spent a lot of time together. And there is no way that I didn't like go on and on about how fascinated I was by the finders and how I wanted to find them and understand them. And she was like, that's nice. Like, because that's the finder culture. They really are like, well, I'm not going to tell you. Like, you've got to.
Yeah.
So She literally texted me while we were recording and I was mentioning her in a different context and said, hey, did you know that I was a finder for like a really long time? And I was like, no, crazy. That's so cool. And she was like, yeah, no, it is really cool. Like she has stuff from the leader and she's like, yeah, she was like all up in it. And so, and she still talks to people in the community. And so it's just, like, she's so cool that it just never came up because like all her other really cool things are always coming
absolutely
up.
There's just a diverse portfolio of things to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's,
you got to respect that. Yeah.
Yeah. Really fun. And I say all that to say, I asked her if she would ever want to do an interview about the finders. And she said, yeah, that would be fun. So we'll put that in an upcoming episode.
Okay, that's how very fun. Exciting.
Yes. I won't say her name now because I don't know what she wants people to know. Right. Maybe we might make her.
I didn't
She's
even know if
private.
We were allowed to talk about it. So I was like, ooh, I got excited when you started bringing it up.
I wasn't sure either. But when she said she'd do an interview, I was like, I guess I can reference
this.
But,
seems like that is kind of a clarification line. But yes, I love it. I'm so excited to hear that. And I can't wait. I think it's very cool, which if people don't know this, there is an interview aspect to Cultside Join that is on the horizon for
the future. Soon.
Coming soon. So something to get excited about.
Yay. All right. Well, speaking of all that, let's get into the cult we're joining today. Are you ready, Amarin?
I could not be more ready, Jesse. I'm ready for something fresh and new.
Oh, you're getting it. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So I'm not sure if you're going to know this one. I thought she won't know this one, so I'm just going to tell her about it and what it is and not force her to guess. But then I didn't want to underestimate you, so I'm going to give you some hints, and you may or may not have heard of this one, and okay if you haven't, because I didn't think you would have. So, but I've been wrong about you before, ma'am.
It's true. I'm ready to not live up to the hype today, but we'll see.
Okay, so what hints can I give you? My entire script blew across my living room right before this started, and then my dogs were excitedly chasing it and romping on it, so hopefully it all makes sense. So I'm a little bit flying by the seat of my pants here. That's fine too. Okay, hints about this one. This cult involves the person at its helm is a woman who, it first of all, looks like she's had plenty of money to sink into the filler industry. And she is channeling a 3,000-year-old man.
Oh my God.
She's in your neck of the woods.
Oh, that honestly kind of sounded like a threat after what you just said.
She's coming for
she
you.
Can come, Amarin. She can show up at any time and get you, just FYI. So be aware. Okay, no bells are ringing yet, and I do feel vaguely intimidated.
Okay. She's been featured in several documentaries, one of which I'm going to wait to tell you because There's some more cult crossover there. But another, she was also featured in the very famous The Secret.
Although
she was later removed from The Secret. So if you got like the first hot off the presses DVDs of The Secret back in the day, you'd see her in it channeling her buddy. But if you got later ones, you would not see her in it.
Okay. Very, very interesting. I don't think I know what this is, or if I've seen anything about it, maybe it's been a minute because I'm not, nothing's coming to mind for me so far.
Okay. All right. Then I'm going to tell you all about it. Today we are joining the cult of Ramtha.
Ramtha. Okay.
Ramtha. That is the name of the entity that this woman with plenty of filler money is.
That seems right. I'm not incredibly surprised to hear this. Okay. And am I going to get ahead of myself if I ask if Ramtha is the person? Is that right?
Ramtha is the 3,000-year-old entity.
Entity. Exactly. Okay. Yes. Got it. Now that makes sense.
So let's hop in. So, you know what? I'm jumping the gun. I'm just going to get going here and tell you, sorry, my papers are out of order because of our earlier mention of the wind and the dogs. All right. I'm going to tell you first what Ramtha's. Okay. So Ramtha has a place called Ramtha's School of Enlightenment, or RSE for short. It is out there. It is your neighbor there in Yelm, Washington, which is near
Washington.
Yes. It's near. What's that really hippie college in Washington? Evergreen. You don't even have to have.
It's. Oh. It, Maybe.
It's a really cool college. They don't have any like core class requirements. So you can just take like all the cool classes in the world. You can also make up classes. It's how I met a lot of people from that school, because I meet them in communes and they're like, I decided my class was to live in a commune for 6 months and I'm writing a report about it.
So, I love that. Okay. Yeah. I'm not familiar, but I hope that that is alive and well.
It is. It's doing well. So they're well situated. They're in Washington State and they're near like some other, you know, weirdos, for lack of a better term.
Good,
it's
good,
a compliment.
Good.
I'm complimenting all of you when I say weirdos. All right. So I'm going to get to it. What is Rompthe School of Enlightenment? It is a spiritual organization and an academy founded in 1988 by Jay-Z Knight. So Jay-Z Knight is the human end of the Rompthe
the
channel.
Human entity. Okay.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Good, good, good.
Who claims to channel a 30... Oh, I'm sorry. I said 3,000 years. What an insult. 35,000-year-old being.
My God. If you would have said that, I would have known what we were talking about. So shame on you. I'm right. Just kidding.
Right, right. That's, you're right. That was a technicality.
Real slip up there.
Yeah.
That's
sorry
okay.
About that.
We'll give you
how
a pass.
Embarrassing. All right. The school is located. All right. So 35,000-year-old being named Rompthe, the Enlightened One. Oh, that's his last name. I should have told you that, too.
Rompthe, the Enlightened One. That is cooler, I'll say. I do like that more. Cool.
Why didn't I use that as my last name?
The Enlightened One?
Making Stone look less interesting.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely eyeing the Enlightened One for like, for a midlife last name switch, now that you mention it.
All right, guys, everybody jot that down. It's not, we're not hogging it. We can all have it.
We're sharing it. That's right.
Yeah,
we can actually that can be the name for all of us, the Enlightened Ones. All
right. That's great. Hi, I'm Jesse, the Enlightened One.
I'm Jesse, the Enlightened One, and Amron, the Enlightened One as well.
This is our friend Bob, the Enlightened One. As opposed to unenlightened Bob, who we all hate.
We don't like that Bob. When there's Bill, there's several, but we don't like
oh,
any
he's
of them.
The worst. He's so unenlightened. Okay. okay. The school is located in Yelm, Washington, Y-E-L-M, Washington, and has garnered international attention for its unique blend of ancient wisdom teachings, metaphysics, and physical disciplines. There are some interesting disciplines. We'll get there. Jay-Z Knight, born Judith Darlene Hampton, claims she began to channel Rompthe in 1977. Rompthe is described as a Lemurian warrior who fought the Atlanteans over 35,000 years ago. After his ascension, he is said to have become an enlightened being, teaching his philosophy throughout history. The teachings primarily focus on the power of consciousness, the importance of self-sovereignty, and the belief that reality is a reflection of one's thoughts and emotions. So this is very akin to if you're this is a New Age theology through and through, very much a prosperity doctrine, and akin to Abraham Hicks. Are you familiar with Abraham?
Yes.
I also am also featured in all these documentaries.
Can I ask us some quick, very quick questions?
Please,
should I don't know what the word Lumerian means.
No,
what
none
does
of us
that
do.
Word mean? None oh, of us. Okay. Clearly, I'm a person that like is
good
I
job,
read
though.
Too
like,
much.
I
yeah, I was like, but you said that, and it's a pretty word. So I was like,
it
I
is
like
pretty.
The name. I like that qualifier. But what could they mean? So okay, that thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
No, it's made up. But okay. I don't think it's made up by Jay-Z Knight. I think it's made up like by other weird New Agey people. And she was like, this is definitely going in my
it's
narrative.
It's theft. Well, we do love that. Is is it Jay-Z? J-D?
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, sorry. I can't.
Zebra.
It's getting me because of Zebra? Okay.
We're going to get there. That's not a silly alliteration. That's
I feel I've been
name.
Smacked in the face and I like it. I won't forget now that it's Jay-Z. Okay. We'll get there. Go on. That was a lot. I need to sit and be quiet now for a moment.
All right. All right. All right. Here we go again. Rompthe. I'm going to back up. Rompthe is described as a Lemurian. Did I say Lemurian before? It's Lemurian. It's a tough one because it's not a real word.
Yeah, fair.
Warrior who fought the Atlanteans over 35,000 years ago. After his ascension, so he ascended like Jesus or the Buddha. He didn't like die.
Right,
like the rest
right. All the greats do.
All the greats. He is said to have become an enlightened being, teaching his philosophy throughout history. I don't think I have this in my notes, but I picked it up in one of the many things I read about him. So according to the story, which is exclusively through Jay-Z, the story is that he was run through with a sword. He grew up in Lemuria And then, which I believe, this I think is in my notes somewhere, but I believe that that is like a theoretical continent that people think might have been a continent, much like people think there might have been an Atlantis.
Ah.
Same that makes vein sense. Of thought. Yes.
Now so, I'm following.
Yes. Yeah, so okay. Probably not, but maybe for both of these ideas, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No proof really either way thus far. But some reason to think that, like maybe that word was jotted down on a stone tablet somewhere and we're
right.
still parsing it out. So
got it.
Yeah. So the story goes that Rantha is he was a Lemurian, and I don't know, he like saved all his people. And then by the time he was 14, he was leading an army of like 2.5 million Lemurians to fight with the Atlanteans for whichever war that was 35,000 years ago. I'm not up on those politics specifically.
Sure, but, didn't take that class.
Right, but he... Right, because I was taking Victorian literature, which I stand by.
More recent.
So he, some people might argue, equally irrelevant, but I disagree. so he during this one of these battles where he was leading millions of soldiers when he was 14, a remarkable guy. He was run through with a sword, and then at the point of being run through with a sword, this is when he sort of dies and ceases to be human, but sits down and meditates for 7 years.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Cool.
Post sword run through, and then ascends.
Needed a minute, and then ascended.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I can't do the math on how many minutes, but a lot of them.
That's intense.
Yes. After his ascension, he is said to have become an enlightened being, teaching his philosophy throughout history. The teachings primarily focus on the power of consciousness, the importance of self-sovereignty, and the belief that reality is a reflection of one's thoughts and emotions. Sorry, I already read that to you, but I'm reiterating it.
Okay, honestly, I need some help. I'm needing to get soaked in a little bit more. It's a lot to get adjusted to.
It is. So soak him in.
Appreciate it.
This is Rantha. He's 35,000 years old. He was a very successful 14-year-old. Then he sort of died and sort of didn't. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Now we're back to RSE, which is Rantha School of Enlightenment. But we're back in the present times. All right. RSE combines channeling sessions where Jay-Z does channel Rantha where Knight speaks as Rantha with a variety of disciplines. These include disciplines like CNE, which is consciousness and energy. That's a trademarked term by them, by the way. They're very litigious.
Consciousness and energy?
Yes. So they have
a
discipline.
Very generic sounding thing.
It really, really
okay.
is. Yeah. Field work, which they've also trademarked, and the tank, a sensory deprivation exercise, which we'll get into more. Students are taught to create their reality through focused thought and are often encouraged to engage in practices aimed at enhancing spiritual and personal growth. We'll get there as well. A lot of controversies and criticism about them. Obviously, they are constantly being accused of being a cult and having cult-like behavior and the financial exploitation of students. That would be because, like, if this is all bullshit, then, like, them charging for classes is also some bullshit. So
that's fair. I understand that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
They do have high-pressure sales tactics and expensive retreats and courses. So par for the course. No surprise in any of that.
Par for the courses.
They are also criticized for the courses. Yeah. I really let that one drop. Thanks for picking up that ball.
You're welcome.
They are often criticized for promoting unfounded pseudoscientific claims and conspiracy theories. It's a lot. We will also get there.
I'm excited.
Oh, man. The organization hosts events and retreats both in Yelm and internationally and has a significant online presence offering courses and teachings through various digital platforms. About 2,000 students live near Yelm, which has a total population of close to 7,000 people. So this is a small town that they have fairly Rajneesh style taken over.
Yeah. Okay.
Without actually buying the town and trying to murder everyone in it. So just to be clear,
right.
What's the difference?
Got
there?
It.
Yeah. They are drawn by the four tenets of Rantha's philosophy. This is important. These are their four tenets. The statement, you are God. Okay. This is a whole thing for them. The statement, you are God, is step one in joining the religion that is Rantha, although Rantha doesn't say it's a religion.
Okay.
But you have to, you are God is tenet number one. So you've got to really fully like embrace and embody that. not an unfamiliar tenet. Even a lot of Christianity embraces this, like God dwells within me. Every cell of my body is God. I am the mm-hmm. physical manifestation of God. God is the witness of my of his creation, which is me. You know, so that is that's the first one. You are God. Tenet number one.
Okay.
To follow Rantha. Next, the mandate to make known the unknown. That's okay. pretty. I don't know how you don't constantly do that just by talking and living your life.
Doing but, your best. Yep.
Yeah. The concept that consciousness and energy create the nature of reality. So that's, again, my Christian church was really into the idea that consciousness and energy create the nature of your reality. I get really yeah. mad at Solace. Tell me if you do this too. Are you we may have said this before. Are you familiar with the term speaking it into being?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think, I don't know if this goes as far as like mainstream Christian churches. Guys, give us a shout out and tell us if this is common in more mainstream Christian churches. But the idea of speaking something into being is exactly that. Like Solace will often be like, ooh, maybe I'll trip and break my leg in this game. And I'm like, don't speak that into being.
Why would you say these things? Yeah, absolutely.
Because your words are concrete building blocks that create reality. We all know that in Genesis, God made a sound and the sound created the earth. Mm-hmm. So sound is creation. So that's a tenet of theirs too. Again, doesn't seem very original to me, but also seems probably true to me. So consciousness and energy create the nature of your reality. And lastly, the challenge to conquer yourself.
Okay.
That's a lifelong challenge for all of us. I'm certainly not there.
No, it's hard.
All right, let's get into the history of Jay-Z herself and the creation of Rantha, or the discovery of Rantha, depending on your vantage point. Okay. Jay-Z Knight was born Judith Darlene Hampton in 1946 in Roswell, New Mexico. Now that seems significant.
Now that's something you should be starting with at the point you're including it, but now that is just wow. Okay.
Yes. And by the way, Rantha is super into aliens and flying saucers, like super. It's a major part of the ideology.
Coincidence? I think probably not.
I don't think so at all. She was one of eight children in a family of migrant farm workers. In her autobiography, 1987's A State of Mind, My Story, she says a Yaqui Indian woman told her mother that baby Judith would one day see what no one else would. In 1977, that prediction came true. She was raised in grinding poverty. She grew up as a cotton field laborer with her parent or with her mother. Her mother had a series of abusive alcoholic husbands. In her autobiography, Knight clear-headedly recounts the sting of being labeled, quote, poor white trash, and the abyss of horror of being raped by an uncle when she was only four. I'm sorry, trigger warning backwards for that. Yeah. I didn't see it. It's very small print.
That's totally fair, but sad, very sad.
Yeah, terrible. She married young and had two sons. She'd divorce and remarry, several times before her last husband gave her the surname Knight. She is also a last name thief, which you know I support.
We love a last name thief.
I mean, I think Jay-Z Knight is a better cult leader name than Judith Hampton.
I agree.
I'm Judith going out Hampton, front with that.
I don't know about that. Totally.
Yeah, but I would be like, Judith, you're not channeling a 35,000-year-old warrior.
I'm not getting that from you. You're
Judith really Hampton. Not.
Now, you know what I'm looking for is more of a zebra energy.
With the last name Knight. That's really.
That's right. Yep, that's exactly
what I'm going
right.
for.
Yeah, it's giving chess, I guess. The knights in chess are horses, right?
They are indeed, yeah. Which that really makes sense, yeah. No wonder she stuck with that one. Again, no shade here. I support you, man.
All in.
I was happy being Jesse Stone before I realized I could be Jesse the Enlightened One.
Well, yeah, it was a tough awakening for all of us.
I'm still adjusting. She's also pretty sure that she is the reincarnation of her half-sister who died as a toddler a decade before Knight was born. Okay. Knight recalls that her first husband and his pushy mother bullied her into dyeing her eye-catching hair. So she has very blonde hair. She's a blondie Blonderton,
okay.
Which, as we've discussed before, is probably why she made it this far. So she has pretty blonde hair, and her husband and his bullying mother at the time bullied her into dyeing her hair a dull black. So then when it started to grow out, it left her two-toned, right? So she's got like blonde roots and black hair. Spurred by later friendly workplace teasing of her wardrobe, she adopted the nickname Zebra, eventually shortening her name to just Jay-Z.
Sure. And you know, there it is. No one else has ever been named Jay-Z, so it's a perfectly good name to have.
What an interesting way to come up with your final, like, I'm settling on this name. It was from a bad dye job that her friends were teasing her about.
That's something I don't wish upon anybody. You know, like, there's owning it, and then there's this. You know, like, I'm all about being confident in the face of bullying, but I don't think you need to be this attached to the actual things that you're being bullied about.
Right.
You can move on. It's okay.
I guess she liked it. Maybe she liked zebras for some reason.
She was like, I was going for that. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I'm glad you guys are seeing exactly the look that I was going for. Okay. So she and her first husband heard now. Okay. We're now in the 70s. We're in 1977, the year of my very own birth. So y'all don't remember this, and even I don't remember it, but pyramids were real, real big in the 70s. Are you aware of this trend at all?
loosely, but yes, obviously yeah. I didn't experience it firsthand. Yeah. So I don't really know, like I could know, but yes, a little bit.
They were very big in the 70s, and all the culty type people, I'm sure, including the Rajneeshis, were like, this is my jam. Pyramids are the answer to everything. And at this time, pyramids were the answer to everything for anybody in any kind of like pseudo hippie-ish type religion. So she and her first husband, and remember, they have two little kids, and they were avid hikers. So they were always trying to kind of like lighten their loads for hiking. Right. So that it was less of a schlep. Okay. So she and her first husband heard about, quote, pyramid power in 77. The belief that pyramids modeled on those in Egypt could sharpen razor blades and preserve food through mummification. So they spent this whole weekend like fully manicked out, not sleeping. Her and her husband and her two sons they made like a million pyramids, and they put them all over their kitchen over razor blades to see if they'd sharpen, and over different food products to see if they'd mummify and preserve so that they'd be better for camping.
Sure. Yeah. That's growing up. Who didn't do that? You know, am I right?
Yes. So they mummified cheese, or they attempted to mummify cheese, dog food, bologna, for example. Okay. Nice. So they spent a whole, now this is what's interesting about this. They were all in this weekend. They didn't sleep, which some might say contributes to the outcome here, but they didn't sleep. They kind of were in a manic phase, just building. This is like what you watch when you're watching a movie and a person snaps and they don't sleep for 3 days while they like newspaper their entire house
or
they like try to claw the, you know, microchip out of their skin or whatever the thing is that they're doing. That's what these people are doing with their kids in 77, but they're building pyramids and they're putting them over every single thing in their house to see if they can mummify food, sharpen razors, what have you, right?
Okay. Yeah. It's taken it to a new level. For sure.
Yes. Yes. So the following day, on no sleep, Knight jokingly grabbed one of the paper pyramids, placed it on her head. This is a real Aladdin moment. Mm-hmm. And Ramtha, a 7-foot-tall apparition of golden glitter clad in a purple robe, appeared in her kitchen. Mm-hmm. I am Ramtha, the Enlightened One. I have come to help you over the ditch.
Huh. Wow.
Yes.
What an experience that must have been.
Indubitably. She began channeling Ramtha in public in 1979, presenting his wisdom nationally and internationally through workshops and retreats called Ramtha Dialogues. Early students included Shirley MacLaine. Let's see. Okay. These are names we don't know quite as well because they are from the 70s, but actors Richard Chamberlain and Mike Farrell, actress Selma Hayek was famously one of her followers, and former Dynasty star Linda Evans is still a student, it looks like. Or was for a long time. So who knows today? I'm not up to date, but at the time of this writing.
Wow.
All right. So that same year, she and her husband purchased an 80-acre ranch in Yelm, Washington, where they initially planned to and did start to breed Arabian horses for a time. They built a 12,800 square foot chateau, subsequently sold the horses, remodeled the 15,000 square foot horse arena, and then opened what would become RSE, the Ramtha School of Enlightenment, in 1989.
Okay.
So 12 years down the road, the evolution has become, so this Ramtha appeared when she hadn't slept for 2 days and was pyramiding everything and put a pyramid on her own head in 1977. Mm-hmm. Then my understanding from interviews I listened to with her, where she does sound charming, is that then she practiced channeling for the next 2 years and then she took the show on the road.
Okay.
Yeah. So in the 80s, she's been in like many, many of like, you know, 80s were really big on talk shows and she's basically done the whole talk show circuit. So there's lots of old interviews of her on the talk show circuit.
Talk show queen. All right.
Talk show queen, faux show. And then by 89. So then they, you know, earlier they purchased this 80 acre ranch. They did try breeding horses. It didn't go great. And then they were like, fuck it. We're going to be cult leaders instead. And so then.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
They had this massive 15,000 square foot horse arena and they mildly remodeled it into being a, by mildly remodeled it, I mean, like it's still a dirt floor. It's still a horse arena, but they kind of like got some of the stalls out of the way and like made it more of a big empty space for people to come into. Which also cool. We'll come back to later. So now they've got this giant school and they open it in 1989. Let's talk a little bit about the beliefs of the Ramthaites, which is a term I just made up and not something they call themselves.
Okay. Got it. I liked it. So I'm glad you said something, or I would have thought it was official.
So as we mentioned, Ramtha was from the ancient land of Lemuria. During Ramtha's lifetime, before he migrated to Atlantis and freed his people from tyranny at the age of 14, then he went on after that to conquer 2/3 of the world at the head of an army of 2.5 million. After being run through with a sword during the battle, Ramtha sat on a rock and meditated for 7 years, becoming enlightened, taught his body to vibrate at a high frequency, and ascended like Jesus. So that was a 7-year process.
Sure, sure, sure.
Unlike
a little
Jesus,
bit more realistic than the Jesus timeline there.
Sure, I guess. I've never vibrated high enough to
I've not tried, but for me, anything that just takes longer just feels more actionable. I'm not saying I could do it given 7 years or anything, but I see what they mean.
Well, the rest of us have to pay rent. Sorry, Ramtha. Okay, so instead of dying, he ascended beyond the mortal plane to join a collection of A-list masters that includes Jesus, Muhammad, and Buddha. The religion of Knight's Youth has its place in Ramtha's model of the world. When Ramtha takes over her body per night, he controls the speech, the movement, and the message. She, in turn, parlays that wisdom into thousands of pages, dozens of books, hours of DVDs. Ramtha's general philosophy reflects can-do self-empowerment, UFOlogy, and what a layperson might call magic. Ramtha is not God exactly, but rather evidence that humans are all aspects of being what we call God. Ramtha is supposedly all-powerful, ageless, on a dimension beyond any humanity, and that's what we know about Ramtha. Ramtha's narrative weaves through historical tenets of occultism and spiritualism, and his hometown is the lost continent of Lemuria. Not Atlantis, but same vibe. Oh, there it is. Okay. It was popularized by the 19th century's trendy theosophy, a mystical movement all the rage in an era where attending seances passed for a night on the town. So remember, remember the seance.
Yeah, I definitely remember that era. Yes.
See, we're back in Victorian England. I knew it mattered.
It always comes back around there.
Mm-hmm. So like I said, she didn't make up the word Lemuria, but someone else did. So
yeah, I see. Yeah. That definitely makes sense now that we've talked through it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm glad to know that I don't just not know a word, because I guess that would have been a disaster for me.
You're still master of the English language.
Still fine. Just didn't know the group. Fine on the words. Right.
In her trance state, Knight as Ramtha holds court equal parts wise and wise cracking. This personality appears to be a jokester as much as a philosopher, as Ramtha, the short blonde knight, strides around and man spreads with masculine gusto. Oh, that is another thing. Sorry, let me finish the sentence and then I'll get back to it. I keep trailing off. Okay. Like the cliched professor pontificating by a fire, he/she even smokes a pipe. So when Jay-Z is being Ramtha, Jay-Z, who is a woman channeling a man, so when Ramtha is present, Jay-Z adopts very masculine mannerisms, by which I mean like she manspreads a lot. She does a whole lot of physical manspreading.
She's cool.
Yes. And then she smokes a literal pipe a lot of the time. So listen, were I trying to decide if this person were faking it, those to me would read as fakes, right? Like,
it's not a great look, I'll be honest. Yeah, it feels a little forced.
What do men do? They manspread and they smoke obnoxiously stinky things. That's what I'm doing.
That's what they're known to do in my experience, right, guys? Right? Okay, well, good. Doing it.
Too much cologne.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah. So she manspreads and she smokes a lot of pipes when she is speaking as Ramtha. Now, a true believer would, of course, argue Ramtha is a man. Ramtha does manspread.
What Ramtha's going to do what Ramtha's going to do. Okay.
Sure. I mean, one would assume that men have been manspreading for 35,000 years. That I do find completely believable.
I think we can make a fair bet on that one. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes, she also has retrieved memories of being Ramtha's beloved and headstrong daughter in his original world-conquering lifetime. So she says,
she's got a little daughter connection.
Yeah, yeah. So this was originally her father, and now it is her person she's channeling 35,000 years later. I just highlighted a couple of, I'm not going to like quote all the Jay-Z talking as Ramtha things, but it's a sort of a stilted speech, as you might imagine if you were channeling. Let me describe it for you. So when she's just talking, she just talks like any, like you and me. She's just talking, yeah. and she is like very upbeat and enjoyable, and she feels very approachable and open. She's a little bit snooty about her thing, like her thing that she does when people kind of,
sure.
Like, I listened to one interview and the lady was like, so, you know, you just have some dude talking through you. And she's like, yes, some dude. It's a little bit more than that. And then she refers back to it like 20 times in the conversation.
Oh my God.
So then, you know, that some dude says to me, so she gets a little uppity about her thing, okay. But whatever.
Love
her thing. But my point is, when she is herself, when she is speaking as herself, she speaks like you and I, and she's very nice and light and approachable. When she is speaking as Ramtha, it's a very, I mean, the idea is, so she will tell you, and she does tell you, she doesn't like go into a meditative state or go into a trance or anything like that. She just entirely leaves her body herself, and her physical body is just inhabited by this other being, right? Oh, so she's not there. Okay. She doesn't know anything about it. It has nothing to do with her. Yes, she's out of office. And so there's Ramtha talking. And so then if Ramtha is entirely channeling through her, then we are going to see Ramtha's mannerisms, Ramtha's voice, Ramtha's viewpoint of the world, not a modern viewpoint of the world, right?
Right.
And so this, again, if I were unfiltered, looking to decide if I believed it, would get pretty tricky for me, because she's a very inconsistent imitation British accent most of the time that she's channeling Ramtha.
Oh, that's not gonna do it for me. Yeah, it's that's gonna like, take me out.
It really does. It's very like when you watch all the Bible movies, they all have an English accent for some reason. Have you noticed those?
Yes. It doesn't make any sense. They've done nothing about it.
Well, to the American ear, it translates as ancient, right? Because like,
yes, we're like, well, that is old. Yes, yes.
We haven't been in England for hundreds of years. So
seems ancient to me.
Checks out. So it's not even a straight. It's definitely not an English. Okay, here's what she sounds like. She sounds like current day Madonna.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm talking about? How Madonna adopts this full British accent, even though she like spent her entire adulthood in America, like childhood and adulthood. So,
yeah, that seems bad as a leader. I don't love
it.
It's
pretentious. I don't love it either. So it's a very on again, off again, in and out, not consistent British accent that we get from Ramtha, kind of mixed with a little bit of Canadian and then a little bit of just what does she say? She says her R's all like rather than not a r, but just a r.
R.
Around. Oh, she would say, I'm running around. She'd say, I'm running around.
running around. Okay, that's not even a Britishism.
It's just like maybe I took Spanish 101 and I'm bumping into that a little bit.
So she's sending it without any real authority or accent training, it seems.
No, none whatsoever. Not consistent. Sort of annoying. Really takes you out of the moment, in my opinion. But people love it. She's got plenty of followers. So sure. who am I to criticize? But so she talks in that way. And then she's manspreading. And then she's smoking a pipe. And this is how we know we're talking to a 35,000-year-old man and not like a mom of two.
All my experiences with 35,000-year-old men have involved pipes. So I get it. I understand the thought here.
Well, again, I'd believe you if you said they involved manspreading. So,
Shit, I fucked up. Yeah, okay, I'll remember that next time.
So here are just a couple of things that also they get me because when she's channeling Rantha, she speaks like a 35,000-year-old being in theory would be speaking to us. In that, here's I just highlighted a couple of phrases that stood out to me. So. Okay. This is that which is called television, is a thing that he likes to say, right? Rantha, yeah. You've been being channeled since the 70s. You can just say TV now, Rantha. You're TV. An all-knowing being.
Television.
This is that which we call television. Like, that's...
Hear ye. Television is this here with the pictures and they move.
Yeah, okay. But then he'll be like... So-and-so flying in their airplane is blah, blah, blah. Why isn't it that which we call an airplane? Because that's the same timeline.
Doesn't line up. Okay. I see your point. I'm not liking what I'm hearing one bit. Yeah.
Well, it seems like lazy cult leading to me because either, listen, hold the bit. Stick with the bit. Stop breaking the fourth wall and coming back into your ancient guy speech, right? So,
yeah.
So, Rantha makes a lot of references to like the banking system, vaccines, the medical system, the healthcare system, like a shit ton. And they're not all that which we call this, which is all modern to someone who ascended 35,000 years ago. Right. But for some reason, because TV like reads as more modern in our kind of experiential brain.
Yeah.
Like she doesn't lose the opportunity to be like, this is that which we call television. So it's just inconsistent. Okay. And very it just strange. Seems silly to me. And listen, Rantha, I want to believe you. So I could be convinced
to be on board. Yeah.
Yeah. Stick to the bit better than this is what
there
I'm saying.
There are a lot of elements that are appealing here, but you can't half-ass it in this way, to be frank. Right.
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, here's another one that when Rantha is talking to the audience, he will say, "You are well this day in your time."
Okay, I actually like that one. I'm going to start saying that to people. You are well.
General greeting.
Okay, hold on. Say it one more time. You are well.
You are well this day in your time.
You are well this day in your time. All right, thank you. This is very good.
Guys, I can see her jotting it down. She's going to do it.
Hold on. Wait for it.
So that's again, it's just what are you talking about? You're in this time with us, Rantha. You've been here for 30 years.
In our shared time, Rantha, you're ageless. Why would you acknowledge time as an ageless entity?
Right. After 35,000 years, it would
you don't see the
feel
Old
like a
Testament
blur.
God talking about time. He's not he's like, it's been a minute since I've been. No. You know, the Old Testament God is like, bush on fire, you know? Give me your firstborn. What's wrong with you? So more
I said
business.
What I said. Well, don't worry. Rantha gets very, I said what I said too. So don't worry about that.
Oh, fine.
We'll get there. But I don't know. I just like the inconsistencies bother me because like literally I would like to go along with this, Rantha, and you're a little bit wrecking it for me with phraseologies like this. So I just tighten it up, Rantha, if you would.
Tighten
for
up,
me.
Rantha. Thank you. Thank you.
But I guess she doesn't have to because she's cashing those checks. And, you know, unlike a lot of cult leaders, she's actually not endlessly greedy. She's like, this seems good.
There's an end which she will reach. Yeah.
I have a great ranch. My bills are paid. I can go shopping. I'm solid. I don't need any more followers. I don't have to tighten my game.
I honestly really appreciate and admire that mindset. You know, way to acknowledge when you've achieved, you know, you don't keep pushing to a limit. You know, you don't drain yourself. Exactly.
Yes.
Admirable.
Yeah. In 1988, staffers at her school say that death threats at an event in Colorado drove Knight and her students back to the Yelm residence. So you'll recall that she converted her space to hold classes in 1989. That's because in 1988, they were out. Don't forget what the 80s is known for: shitty music and satanic panic. So
that's right. Pyramids. Uh-huh.
Right. So. No surprise at all that in 1988, the peak of the satanic panic, this person channeling a 35,000-year-old entity is going to get death threats from people who are all about this. They're probably half of them from my church.
They're scouring the paper looking for people to harass, you know. And they're like, please let me know.
Yeah, right. So yeah, easily predictable that a woman who is into pyramids on her head is going to get this hit.
Truly.
And so she did. And so that's when, rather than going out and doing a traveling Chautauqua show, she, you know, a la Mark Twain, she pulls it back into her ranch and starts doing it there. The town around her didn't love it, which is also predictable. But the town, some people really hate her there. But for the most part, they're just like, oh, yeah, these wacky neighbors we have. Yes. Outside, the gates are now shut and you have to like pay to get on the property and be a part of the classes. I'm sorry. Then there's so in my highlighting, I highlighted just one little blurb here, which is that the person writing this article was interviewing the staff. Right. And so They were interviewing a staff and a gate swung shut in the wind. And we would think like, oh, the wind blew the gate shut. Yeah. But this staffer looked up and smiled into the air and goes, hi, Ron.
Well, to be fair, that is a level of delusion matched by many Christians I know.
The show.
Hi, Daddy God.
Right. All right. Back onto the beliefs. We're still not done with the beliefs. We're getting there. I'm almost out of it. All right. Through various focus techniques, this is another belief of theirs. Okay. The students believe that because, again, they're very much just like, their beliefs are pretty basic. They're basically that like your worldview is how you're going to in fact physically experience the world.
Yeah.
Which isn't wrong. So,
which I honestly believe. Yeah. So yeah, I'm like, I'm on board there. There's just few tiny elements, which I just can't point to specifically that I'm not following here.
They're going to grow, unfortunately. But yeah, no, I totally am on board for this too. So through various focus techniques, the students believe that they are on their way to becoming as, quote, enlightened as any other shaman who can alter their personality and reality at will. Again, I find that totally believable. The main activities toward that goal vary from specific focusing, meditation-like techniques, breathing techniques, blindfolded archery. We'll get back to it.
Nice.
Blindfolded archery. Energy healing for yourself or for someone else, finding the heart of a maze, and many more things. The students are taught that human beings can train themselves into such powers that will allow them to levitate, raise the dead, make gold appear in their hand, and predict the future. Okay. My church believed all those things. Did yours?
Yeah. I would say most of those things. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you believe the Bible, I've said it before, I'll say it again. If you read the Bible and you believe it, you believe that. So
that's really absolutely true. Yeah, because it's not like Jesus was the only person ascended in the Bible. Another person ascended in the Bible. Then we also have like people being raised from the dead in the Bible. So not weird at all to Christian culture. So those are things I already believed and can't unbelieve personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't even think that's just from our Christian beliefs. I think our potential is perhaps almost limitless.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I don't think it really is something that you can specifically attach to Christianity. Yeah. I think that it is just something that's applicable to Christianity, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's not a weird belief. Like that, you know, people, this isn't a list of weird beliefs as if it is also a weird belief, but
calling this one normal, calling it for what it is, guys, calling it out, normal thing.
Hot take. These are normal beliefs. Levitating, raising from the dead, making gold appear in your hand, predicting the future. Yep. This all checks out to me. Okay. Eventually this may lead to the ascension of the physical body into the light body. I think that's a weird goal. I don't want to ascend. I'm fine with just dying. I'd prefer to miss the event and be asleep. But
yeah.
Allegedly, it is. Oh, this is another thing. We'll get into this too. It is being taught there that the nitric oxide in red wine, not the alcohol, also found in pipe tobacco, not the nicotine, can help to facilitate changes in the brain as part of the process in which to achieve these means, which is a great reason to drink and smoke all the time, which they
do. Yeah, very convenient. Interesting, interesting.
Yes, so nitric oxide, big part of the religion, it turns out. We'll get there. Nine also teaches students to be sovereign, which if it reminds you of sovereign citizens, it's because it's supposed to. Hoard gold and to prepare food and supplies to survive for 2 years after one of the natural disasters that she often predicts will hit the earth. Rhonda is also quoted on the neo-Nazi web forum Stormfront, which I assume we've all heard of because it got real popular when Trump was president, where her writings on the, quote, New World Order are much appreciated and quoted under the headings such as, this is about Jewish people, hit the forward 30 seconds, such as Jews were responsible for causing World War I and World War II.
Big time belief department choice. Got it.
Yes. Here's a quote from Rantha. It took a lot to get this country into the First World War because no one wanted to get into it. And so the gray men owning most of the media, by the way, Rantha is all conspiracy theories all the time.
Okay. All right.
didn't see that coming, did you? Because she seemed cool and chill.
I thought we were just dealing with a normal lady here, Mrs. J. Zebra.
And that's where you were wrong. You didn't know what the Z stood for.
Basket again.
And so the gray men owning most of the media. And then, of course, this is Rantha. So Rantha has to say, do you know what the media is?
Should I explain that term?
Why are you doing this, Rantha? We're 30 years in. We know what media means.
It's what it is. Initially it represented this, but now it's more news and
Okay. Do you know what the media is? I have learned that term. The gray men own them all, you know. The papers you read, the box you watch, the magazines you thumb through, the radio waves you listen to.
Yeah. Normal.
Right. So that's a little bit of a summation of their beliefs. So they're very manifesty. They're very prosperity gospel. They are also very... conspiracy minded, they're either very left or very right. We've talked about this before. The left and the right meet on the opposite end of the circle. That's where Rantha lives.
It's such a good point. It's not a space I like to play in, but I do find it very interesting. So I'm glad we're talking about it.
Yes. Yeah. And we'll get back to more of it. We're actually rounding out. We're going to talk about the business of Rantha. And then that is everything for this episode. And then we'll talk more about the school itself, the experience within the school, the interpersonal controversies. I'm going to give you this little spoiler alert. She's got one very vocal ex-student who has a lot of shit to talk on her. It all does seem pretty confirmed in that Rantha doesn't deny it.
Okay.
But the crux of the issue is that they both slept with the same guy.
Ooh, tale as old as time, baby. Right. Okay.
Rantha literally is she's jealous because I got her man.
Well, if that's not an ancient entity, I don't know what is. You know, get your priorities straight.
Not Rantha. I'm interchanging them. Jay-Z was talking some girl shit. So
that is.
We'll get into that.
This is kind of the group that I should have joined whenever my mom was telling me, whenever I was in middle school or junior high, that God didn't care about my drama and I didn't need to pray about anything related to my interpersonal life because God just didn't care.
Ooh, that's rough.
Underneath the belief system, relatively fair because of the.
No, it is just hard to hear.
But I was just you're so probably right about this, you know, because it was my mom. This is the group that I needed to join at that time because they do give a F about my petty drama here in this group.
Oh, Rantha is often referred to by her former followers as a drama queen. She loves to stir the shit. She loves some spilled tea. She's an interesting character, she/he. I think it's okay for me to potentially misgender the 35,000-year-old entity because I feel like at that point, gender, it really is a construct.
The channeling just seems to be so influential to the entity. So I think it's just slipping into the rhetoric.
He's still manspreading, so he's still...
There's something in there, for sure.
Retaining that, but...
Yep.
All right, let's talk about the business of Rantha, because Rantha herself, or I'm sorry, Jay-Z herself, try to get these names straight, for who's representing who when they're talking. Jay-Z herself will tell you that this is not a religion in any way, which is weird to me because I guess that means she pays taxes.
Yeah, that's surprising.
It is. But she's very clear to say, like, this isn't a religion. This, although you can... you can be a monastery, which is sort of a religious, and still get the tax exemption. So I'm sure she's worked that angle already. But she will tell you this is a business. All right, let's get into it. Knight, now 68, says that she's been channeling the ROM since 1979 when he emerged one day in her kitchen. That led to a multi-million dollar business called the Romtha School of Enlightenment at the gated site of her former horse ranch. We know all of this. It is now a globe-trotting expansion of a business that is on constant world tour. So, I couldn't find a whole lot of numbers for exactly how much she's pulling in, but there are some listed prices of her classes and the number of people that come, and then she's got these global retreats as well. So, it's in the millions each year. But it's not like millions. It's like $2 million this year, sure. $5 million this year. So again, she's like not limitlessly greedy, which I attribute to her being a matriarch rather than a patriarch. Yeah. All right. So it says hers is not a religion or a cult, she insists, but, quote, an academy of the mind that supposedly involves the latest discoveries in neurosciences and quantum physics. Many of her doubters included at least three of her husbands, the late Jeffrey Knight, who called Romtha a fraud. Nonetheless, Knight has attracted thousands of paying faithful to Yelm, including, as we said, actress Linda Evans, Shirley MacLaine, and Selma Hayek, who have all agreed not to divulge the sect's secrets. They're actually, again, they're very litigious. So,
okay. Love.
What's interesting is like they teach all this basic stuff in all of their classes, but then they do have a hierarchy of an inner circle in which they teach much more religious stuff and much more like they're really into lizard people.
Oh, nice.
I know.
Lizard people. They make a return.
Step two of UFO believing is definitely going to involve lizard people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they actually believe that UFOs are coming. Lizard people are getting out of the UFOs. They're going to dominate the earth and they're going to kill everyone who is not a believer in Romtha. And doesn't
in Romtha. Okay.
Yes.
So this is I like this because this is a new take on the invader end of the world theory where they are coming and they're actually pro the deity. And anybody that's not on the team of the deity is going to get killed in this scenario too. But just because like they're here to party big time. And
they can't have everybody at the party.
Love.
But that's not their mainstream theology. Their mainstream theology is basically the same as watching the movie The Secret. If you watch The Secret, you pretty much know what Romtha's belief systems are, despite the fact that she was cut out of the documentary. Because she sued. Again, I can't say it enough. She sues a lot of people.
Big sued lady. Got it.
Yeah. So I think my memory, now this isn't in my studies. This is actually just because I really liked The Secret. And I remember thinking, where did that Romtha chick go? I really liked her. Why isn't she in the show anymore? And I looked it up way back then. And if my memory serves and it does line up with her habits, they put her in it. And then she accused them of using her ideas outside of crediting her for them. And so then they broke up and she was pulled from the DVDs.
That makes sense.
Yeah, except her ideas are like prosperity gospel, so it's not...
Right. Yeah. Well, that's why it makes sense, is because they're not very original ideas.
Right.
So I feel like everybody's stealing them.
But she's like out in these streets trademarking words like consciousness, so I guess she feels pretty entitled to some basic ideas. All right, so... there was a time that religious protesters picketed outside of her school... again, during the satanic panic. And she went out and said to them and said, was quoted in the New York Times as well as saying, I'm not a leader. I'm not a guru. I'm not somebody's savior. This is a business.
This is a business. Okay. Out front with it. And good on you. Wow.
Well, it's interesting. Okay. I'm going to fully segue and pause right here for just a moment because this quote, total aside story, but it pulls back in. When I worked at a strip club years ago, we had this, it was like mafia owned. And so our owner was part of a larger network, we'll say. But because he was part of this larger network, the club didn't really have to make a profit. It just had to turn money. Sure. And so it was relatively low stakes for him. And so he was able to be like a father figure and a really, really nice guy. And he, like, you know, re-roofed the houses of the old ladies in the neighborhood around the club, and he donated money, and he, like, bought winter coats for all the dancers' kids. Like, he was a really great guy, and he always called us his family, and he was a great cook, and he would make us. So one morning he made me breakfast, like French toast, all this good stuff, and I ate it, and he was like, I love you so much, you're my family, da da da. And I was like, thanks, buddy. And then I did something in the day that, like, pissed him off. I know what it was. I didn't take another dancer's hand because I didn't like her. And that's, like, a sign of disrespect. Like, we're supposed to take each other's hands on stage, and I didn't do it. And he fired me. And I'd worked there for, like, 5 years. And I was like, but John, I thought we were family. You just made me French toast. And he said, this is a business and I don't know you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He came to my wedding. He came to my graduation.
He was like, sorry, that relationship has closed. Yes.
Right. Wow. That was a long way because, I said that because that's identical to the way that I see Jay-Z Knight in her setting. Like, she absolutely is these people's guru. She absolutely is, like, giving them all, like, she is heavily giving them life advice. She's telling them how to invest their money, what to eat, who not to listen to, who to vote for. She is all up in their shit. But when it comes down to it, she isn't kidding when she says, I'm not a guru. This is a business.
I don't care about these people. I'm just happy to take their money. I'll tell you that much. Yeah. Wow. It's bold, but it's true. That's got to be worth something, right?
No need to protest me. I do not care about these people.
You know what? You've got me there. These guys can go right to hell. What? Yeah. Right.
So, yeah, just like, yeah, sorry to pause and give you an unrelated story, but it felt very related because it was such a stark, like, step back and such an immediate and with ease, you know, like, literally that morning, like, how's your life? How's your mom? Da,
I'm
da, da.
So invested
I can't
in this.
Do this French toast. You've been here for 5 years. And then literally, this is a business and I don't know you.
I don't know who you are. So just go ahead and get out of here. My God. Well, that's the break sometimes with these types of situations, business in general, I guess.
I baked that man bread for 6 months to get back into that club.
My God. Well, sometimes
he was
you
like,
work for
your family.
You remembered your family relationship eventually.
Bread loaf 100 jogged his memory.
Okay. Well, that now we know.
All's well that ends well. Okay. So back in Rompthis School, out of the strip club, back to Rompthis School. Okay. At its height, the school claimed to have more than 10,000 students, which I think is believable. They have about 80 employees. The students have paid $1,000 or more to participate in events where crowds often reached 1,000. So you can do the math on 1,000 people at $1,000 a head. I can't, but you can.
My God. Yeah, it adds up quickly.
What is that? That's a million, right? That's six zeros.
So, yeah.
Guys, I'm not even sorry. I'm not good at math. I never claimed I was, so. I'm over here joining cults. That's not for math people,
It's not for the mathematicians. That's what we know.
Yes. If we learned anything from Love is One, it's that only one person does math in cults, and that's who steals your money.
It's neither of us. So go ahead and tap in if you have any serious concerns about anything.
No need to keep an eye on us if we're at your cult.
No.
We're just eating all your snacks. That's
we're there for the snacks. We're there for the stories. We're not there for much else.
Yeah. Well, the outfits.
Well, yeah. But we're not going to do anything devious, probably.
Not with your, we can't do the math to get to do much damage.
Not math related deviousness, at least.
Yeah, for sure. If we do, it'll be embarrassing for us. All right. The school currently holds about 50 events per year. During a 5-day retreat, students will learn about orbs. Are you familiar with people who are into orbs?
I don't know. What are you referencing when you say orbs?
They are floating circles that look exactly like blowing bubbles, except you didn't blow a bubble. They're just orbs. And that is the that's the visible manifestation of spirits around us. And people who are into orbs see them everywhere. They always blink out right before you turn around.
Yeah.
But
an orb. Yeah. Got it.
And they always have lots of pictures of them. But again, it's like, or is that a bubble? I don't know.
Lens flare, perhaps.
Orb people are really into bubbles, and bubbles are visible spirits. That's their jam.
Got it.
They will also learn that cabbages scream when you cut them. which is something I've heard from other people.
I've heard that before too, and I don't know why. I don't know where it came from. I just know that that sounded very true when you said it. Okay.
They're alive. We have, science has taught us that plants are sentient.
Terrifying.
To some degree.
Hate that.
So, that the spirit looks like a soap bubble. So that takes us back to the orbs. And that Rantha has the ability to conjure up spirits such as Mothman, along with photographic proof.
What do you mean spirits such as Mothman? Mothman isn't a spirit. What the hell?
Good luck. Go tell that to Rantha because...
Go tell it on the Rantha. Yeah, okay. All right. I won't be saying anything else about that, but I'm confused by the Mothman cameo.
I too was surprised. It seemed like a hard veer off the path, but what do I know?
Nothing's off limits for this group.
Nothing is off limits, as you will learn as we go on. They will also see, again, prosperity gospel all the way. They will see lots of grinning photos of, they call themselves ramsters, like a hamster.
Ramsters, okay. I'll allow it.
I see photos of grinning ramsters holding up checks for various amounts from the Rantha-inspired wins in the lottery or at the nearby casino. And they are often lectured on quantum physics. Rantha's really into quantum physics. So that's another, again, like prosperity gospel is big. So they're huge on gambling. Like they're huge on it.
Oh,
because
okay. Yeah, I mentioned that makes sense.
And, yeah, we'll get into this into the next episode because that's when we're going to talk about like what it's like inside of the school. But okay. One of the big things, two of the big things that they do, and we'll get into it more, is that they do practice blindfolded archery, which sounds dangerous / fun.
Yeah, I'm interested. I'll say that.
Yeah, I'm not out the door initially. And then they also practice a whole lot of variations of wandering around the property blindfolded, learning to like trust your instinct and navigate with basically like your third eye instead of your eyes. And okay. They believe that the outcome of that is that you hone your instincts so well that you can win the lottery or you can win in casinos.
Oh,
so then they
okay.
go
Lost
out.
Me. Got it.
Got it. Right. And so, but you can see the line of logic, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
You hone
yeah.
your consciousness in this way. And then don't forget, you control your own reality. So once
right.
you've mastered controlling your reality, you then can go on and obviously pick the right winning lottery ticket. Now,
naturally,
this
yeah,
is something you'd
that.
See in The Secret as well. And I promise you, I tried real hard to be this person.
Well, of course. Yeah. There's a lot of parts of this that I think are like so fair and I'm on board with completely. I think that the lottery extension loses me because I know too much about how the lottery works. But
you
and
create
etc.
reality and you walk up and buy the ticket when the right ticket is ready to be
yeah.
pulled off the thing
yeah.
because you know the right universal timing.
Yeah,
you see?
I definitely. Yeah, magical thinking is definitely something that I feel like I have bought into many times in my
Me
life.
Too.
That specific thing. Like I've definitely been there before where I've been because like that's not. I know that that makes sense based off what I'm just said, but that's not far from the Christian tradition in any way,
yes.
shape, or form at all, like we've already pointed out. So it's, yeah, this is super understandable to me. And while the Christians would probably shy away from encouraging gambling, which is probably
yes.
where my hesitation is coming from because
right.
that's like, considered a sin in Christianity. So it's literally probably all of the hesitation is just that background element for me. This is a little bit different, a little bit worldlier, if you will.
It is, absolutely.
I love that.
Christians would eschew like being so materialistic, I think. But there are
exactly.
no sins in Rantha. There's no, like,
sure.
that's not a thing. Other
no.
than like telling their secrets, which are fucking trademarked. Don't forget it. Also, Rantha was into streaming before it was cool. The
no.
school has more than 30,000 hours of Rantha speaking through Jay-Z. They've published more than 600 books, CDs, and videos, and they have material translated into 18 languages. In fact, when you go to their events,
wow.
there are people sitting alongside in real time translating into other languages for their many, many you know, side projects of DVDs and books and stuff like that. So a lot of their money
wow.
doesn't come from events. It comes from like tertiary incomes, like
right.
passive incomes. Like they've
yeah.
just got all this constant material. 30,000 hours is a lot of shit you can
That's
sell.
That's so much shit. And they have demand for this? There are people wanting to consume this? Awesome.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because I think they're selling it in bite-sized enough pieces that it's affordable. And
nice.
People can go like, this is interesting. And it's $3.99 or whatever it is. You
Absolutely.
Know, so like
good business model, future commune cult leader. genders. Consider
100%. I suspect. Now, I did. I guess I should have thought about this, but like just today, I was going through YouTube videos of Rumpa speaking, and certainly ads popped up. You know, so they're generating like ad revenue
content
as well.
Off the ads. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So they're so business much maneuvering. Kind of Love Has Won style in a way.
Yeah. Also, Rumpa doesn't go to these events anymore. So these events are just staffed by staffers and they're doing all the exercises and they're watching videos. But Rantha like has left the building. Not Rantha. Rantha's in the building of Jay-Z currently, but Jay-Z herself is like in the jacuzzi.
She's not interested in being present for these events anymore.
No, again, which again is a bit of a compliment to her, in my opinion, because she's like, I'm rich enough. Like I can't spend all this. So
I'm tired of this. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah. Peace to all of you.
All right.
Yeah. Lastly, this is the last little bit of the business thing. I've mentioned how litigious she is. So she is constantly involved in copyright lawsuits and cases concerning the authenticity and originality of the Rumpa teaching. One example is when a woman in Berlin, Germany, another Judith, interestingly, Judith Ravel, claimed that she was also channeling Rumpa. Knight took her to court and won the copyright to Rumpa's teachings. Isn't that interesting? First of all, I love that another bitch in another country was like, I can, whatever.
Rumpa's
up for grabs, girl. Like, if he's a being,
I'm
I can
pretty sure he's speaking
too.
To me. That's like
I like
the most
what you have, and I'm going to do it.
Yeah, that's the most extreme, like, we showed up wearing the same thing I've ever heard, you know? Like, oh,
except
yeah.
Except one of you, definitely. Single white female, this and
planned
the outfit.
My God.
Yeah, so yeah, I do like the chutzpah of that though. She just was bold. That looks like a working model. I'm just gonna straight up jacket.
Certainly works for me.
I too am channeling Rantha. Let me go ahead and just take all these followers. But that makes perfect sense to me. Why would Rantha exclusively channel through one person? If Rantha's eternal truth needs to get out, well, many people should be channeling Rantha. It is weird to me, like, just with their line of logic, to be like, no, fuck you, Rantha's only mine.
Yeah, I would have a hard time understanding that personally also. I do love that there's the audacity to say that, even if she is, like, actively backing out of the picture. Like, she's not even that interested in being around, but she's still like, no, it's me. You know, it's just me. That's... okay.
I like it. Yeah, she's basically like, this is my corner. I work this corner.
My corner.
You work
get
a different corner.
Exactly. Exactly. You can do this, but somewhere else. Thanks.
Not on the Rumpa corner. You
not
can
the Rumpa
move along.
Mm-hmm. Rumpa Avenue's off limits to you, man.
Right. I work Rumpa Avenue east to west. So,
and don't just move down a couple blocks. I'll find you.
Exactly.
Okay.
You're gonna need a different corner, ma'am.
Get out. Get out.
Okay. Later, another woman, White Wind Weaver, who had attended a dozen events at RSE, imparted Rantha's teaching in an event of her own. Knight sued her as well and was awarded $10,000 in 2008. She is all up on that shit. Like, that is her deity.
Yeah. Does this not seem to anybody, and I know you can't really answer this, but to be discouraging to her cause? Like, again, doesn't it inauthenticate the deity if you're able to go to court, sue someone over the rights to the deity, and win? If that evidence is there, I'm like, so you're not... that's tough for me. He's not a djinn, you know, which like, you know, a djinn is like a genie kind of, but like, you know, he's not, can't be held captive.
That's I don't weird. Know. Rantha's or like Jay-Z is making up these rules. So I don't know what she can
well,
do.
Well, that's fair, but maybe he can. But everything we've heard to this point has not implied to me that would be the case, but maybe we're in for a real twist.
Rantha will let you know.
Okay, Rantha's thinking about it right now. Yeah.
Yeah. But I would say, like, okay, well, it sticks in your craw, Amarin, and mine as well, because we want to be true believers. But remember, Jay-Z herself has explicitly said, this is a business.
Sure.
So she already came out and said to the New York Times, this is a business. This is not a religion. Yeah. So if she is saying out front, this is a business and people are still following her, then they're going to let that inauthenticity slide.
Big time. They're
because
definitely
she's
not
already said what she said.
Yeah. It should already have been on their radar that we're dealing with this level of I don't know, inauthenticity, if that's true.
Yeah.
But definitely how it comes across to someone like you or I that's more inclined to that true believer tendency like you're talking about.
Right. So they're not interested in whether or not she's being, they like the teaching. And in fact, we'll get into this in the next episode. You know, people who were former followers of hers often say, not always, but often say, oh, I didn't even believe her. I just liked the teachings.
Yeah. Okay.
And is actually preferable. Like, if you don't believe that she's channeling something, then you're not going to give her your life savings if she asks for it. You know, if you just like the teachings, I think you're in a pretty safe spot. And I can appreciate that you're enjoying whatever cult you've joined. That's kind of what I want for people who join cults, right? Like, enjoy the cult. Don't give them your life savings.
Right.
You know,
boundaries
so,
as you're exploring this territory. There comes a point when you can absolutely give your life savings to a group that you have joined. It's not immediately. You
know, right.
Like, you need to, it's like that thing that they say about getting married where it's like that person will always be there if it's the right person.
Right.
You can always be there to marry them. There shouldn't be this like clock on getting married to the right person.
It also shouldn't be under duress.
Exactly. All of these things should be true of giving your entire life savings to a group of any kind.
Precisely.
Chill on it. Chill on it for a minute.
So
you know, maybe meditate on it for 7 years. Sorry, go ahead.
It's better if you have a sword run through you. That really
that's gonna solidify that experience even more, friends.
Otherwise, you're gonna need to like eat and you know
there's gonna be other concerns.
Yeah. Mm. But those concerns immediately disappear when you have a sword run through. I don't know if it has to be an Atlantean sword, so I don't know where the
now we're into the nitty gritty of the details. I don't know either.
Guys, I check with Ramtha because that's who has the answers to these questions.
TBD.
It's not us. So anyway, she's very litigious, but I think that probably actually does help her in court that she said that so publicly, because I do think if you went in and were like, oh, it's just an ethereal spirit, the court could be like, I don't know what to tell you about ethereal spirits. Literally after the Salem witch trials, we made it a rule that you can't listen to ethereal spirits in court. That's a real thing.
We can't do that.
That
here,
we
ma'am.
Made real laws about. In direct response to the Salem witch trials, that you can't
ever
take
again.
Spiritual testimony in court. So, but when she says to the New York Times, this is not a religion, it's a business, then she can go into court and say, I said this was a business. They are taking my business model. And courts can go, yeah, that checks out.
That checks out. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is honestly one of my favorite subgenres of cult leaders. We're going to put that obviously as we always do with an asterisk, but this is one of my favorite subgenres because they are very upfront about the fact that they're, you know, they're just being kind of shady, a little insidious.
Right.
They're being like pretty clear about that on paper, and people just don't look that hard. It's such an interesting, like, I'm not mocking anybody in the situation. It just happens weirdly often is all I'll say.
Yeah.
Weirdly often. For like, I understand people that are like, I would never join a cult whenever I see things like that. I'm like, okay, well that, yeah, you probably wouldn't join that cult. I don't think anybody would never join a cult, but whenever I can understand feeling that way, if that's your exposure, some big choices were made.
Indeed. So, to wrap that up, she's very litigious. She comes out in front that it's a business, and it's a pretty well-working business. Now, the end of this is two things. Thing number one is that, as I said, Ramtha has essentially, or Jay-Z, has essentially retired. Ramtha appears less and less at events these days. Knight is 76 years old. She might be 80 now. I think this is a little bit old, but she's old is my point.
Okay.
Shout older than you want to be working. And she has announced that she will have no successor and no alternate channel for Ramtha. She's a little of a bit of a Ramtha hog. So,
okay. Yeah.
And then here's my other favorite thing about her business. So she's got this huge, you know, in a pretty small town, she's got this massive kind of new agey religious-y scene going on with lots of followers and acolytes who are coming. So guess who bought the property across the street from her and built their own giant religious temple and has their own influx of thousands of visitors now?
Who?
I'm just going to tell you. It's the Buddhist Association. So right across the street from her is like an identical setup with like a different religion.
Amazing. And may I go out on a real limb and posit a slightly better alternative, guys? I'm being sarcastic. It's a much better alternative.
I would absolutely just take the time to attend both. Like, I would hope that their scheduling lines up in a way that you can just do both while you're there.
Coordinating that alignment is really key. I think everybody should try to hit the 1-2 morning afternoon combo.
Surely there's a lot of crossover.
I'd have to think so now that you've mentioned it.
Yeah. So, all right. That is everything for this week on Rantha / J Zebra Night. I think that they are an interesting group to join. I kept falling into the trap of trying to like decide how I debunk this or whether I think she's really channeling someone, because I am actually open to that as a concept.
Right.
And then I had to keep backing up and going like, that's not what you're here for. You're just here to understand like their culture and the way that this integrates into their lives. You don't have to decide whether Rantha is an entity being channeled. So
that would be a really big ask out of you. I understand why you felt that way, because I definitely had the same concern like midway through this episode. I was like, what do I think about this? And then I was like, yeah, there's no way that I could ever that I could ever make an assessment about this without like going to the place, obviously, and like talking to somebody for myself. So it's not a burden we would want to try to take on, despite the fact that we both desired to, it seems to immediately. But yeah, I don't know. And I think it's so fair to say it doesn't really matter. We're talking about the group, and the group is kooky. Jay-Z, bruh, I'm out on at this moment. Obviously, I'm open. This is part one of two. So I remain open to convincing or further disillusionment, but I'm not feeling good about it.
That's fair. That's okay. I think, well, here's the thing. Okay. It was really easy for me to go, no, I don't believe you, because I think your accent is weird and spotty. I think you're leaning into that which we call television, but then being like, you should really invest in this stock. Like, it was really inconsistent. I didn't like, we're going to get into some of the ideologies espoused later in this, which are really going to turn you off. Spoiler alert. I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. Rantha gets real Trumpy. And Rantha did not start out that way. So it's
interesting.
It's a lot. So a lot of me is like, yeah, this is silly. I don't believe this. But then when people speak directly, I believe them. I cannot, there is no filter that I can turn on in my brain that's like, you're a liar, you're lying to me. Even like ex-boyfriends who have only ever exclusively lied to me, I'm still like, oh, he said I'm pretty. Like, I can't.
Thank you.
Every time I believe what people say, when people say things, I just believe them. I don't know. I can't flip the switch in my brain, which is to say, a lot of this, I was like, this is stupid. This is badly acted. This is like, could be put together better than this. And then when I hear Jay-Z herself in an interview go like, yeah, it happened in my kitchen. It was so crazy. I'm like, well, there you have it.
Yeah. Yes, that's fair. Yes.
So I don't know. Again, it doesn't matter, but it's an interesting school. Rantha is interesting to watch and listen to. Definitely worth like a YouTube little 10-minute foray into just like seeing her affect when she's channeling and when she's not. And other than that, I think shout out to Rantha. We'll see you guys again next week when we will go on the inside of your school and find out what your practices are like and really get into your deep and dirty stuff. Sorry, guys, it's coming.
It's on the way. Stay tuned for the grosser, dirtier aspects.
It's
going to be fun.
That's what you get at Cults I Join. Amarin,
yes.
I nod to your enlightened self.
And I hope that you stay well this day in your time, Jesse.
I also wish you well this day in your time. Peace be with you. Please enjoy this thing that we call the internet. Through which we are talking. Best. All right. We'll see you guys next week when we're back at Rantha.
Hey, friends. If you are loving Cults I Join and want to help us share the fun, here are some actions you can take. Subscribe and share the show on any podcast platform. Rate and review us on Google. This keeps us visible and gives an angel its wings. Or at least that's what our guru says. Follow us at Cultside Join on the .com, the Facebook, and the Insta, and then hit us there with all your comments, discussions, and questions. We really do love hearing what you think. Finally, a huge thank you to our co-creators. Editing and post-production is by DeverWeb, and the biggest thanks to the incomparable Miss Devin Spruill, our theme song creator and performer. You should go soak up her music right now. And that's it, y'all. Thanks for listening, and happy culting!